Okay, so we're on Daf Chaf Gimel today. I'll begin a few lines from the bottom on Chaf Beis Amud Beis. We went over some of this Gemara yesterday. Let's do it. So, three lines from the bottom on Chaf Beis Amud Beis, 22b. So the Gemara says, "Ibailu maula shein." So the question is, am I allowed to smoke incense on fruit to make the fruit more fragrant on Yontiv? So the issue here is, as we discussed over Yontiv, in addition to being melechet ochel nefesh, it was, I'm allowed to work if it's for food purposes, but it has to be davar shavat lechol nefesh, something that everybody would use. So if it's something that only a gourmet would use, so I'm not allowed to do the melacha. So that's the point of dispute here, because it does involve melacha being ma'ashen. It's been involves mechaba and ma'abir, as the Gemara is going to explain. Yibayhu ma'ala ashen, Rav Yirmi bar Abba ma'rav asur. Rav says, I'm not allowed to do it, because it's only for like the gourmet people, things like that. Shmuel Amar Mutar. Shmuel says it's permissible because in Akinami Shmuel concedes that only like the top tier of people would smoke the fruit. But the fact that like a person doesn't have access to the expensive food doesn't mean it's not Dabar Shavu L'Chol Nefesh. In other words, everybody, like he quotes a Gemara about with a deer. In other words, if the poor person would have access to this food, so then he would eat it. So let's see back in the Gemara. So Shmuel Amar Mutar, two lines to the bottom of Chafez and Beis. Rav Huna Amar Asur Mnei Mechaber. Rav Huna says you're not allowed to be ma'ashein because it involves the malacha. In other words, again, it clearly involves the malacha. The malacha involved is kibui, that when you put the incense on the coals, it like douses out the coals a little bit. Two lines from the bottom on Chafez and Beis. Amrli Rav Nachman, the name of Marm Nishamavir. So Rav says, why are you saying Mechaber? Is it a Mavir? Because then after you add the incense, it flames up a little bit. It's a little bit like, I don't know, like lighter fluid. Like, I don't know, maybe like it quiets it down and then it burns up. So he says, Amrli, Tchilto Mechaber is Sofo Mavir. He says, in Achinami, the beginning is Mechaber, then it's Mavir. But I just mentioned like the first thing, but there's both those things. Amrli Yehuda. So anyway, so that's the point. I'm just, everybody came in a little bit late, but you have it from yesterday. The idea is, am I allowed to be ma'ashen? Can I smoke fruit with incense on Yantiv? So everybody agrees, malachat ochel nefesh is permissible, and I do malachot with this. But the issue is this davar shavu l'chol nefesh? It's only like, if it's only the gourmet people, the fancy people do it, which is what they do, so then it's not davar shavu l'chol nefesh. But the other side is to say that people, if they could afford it, they would do it. So that doesn't mean it's not davar shavu l'chol nefesh. So we'll see back in the Gemara. So I'm Rav Yehuda Gabi Gachelet Asur. So Rav Yehuda says, if putting the incense on a coal, that's prohibited. He says, Al Gabi Cheres Mutar. He says, if I put the incense on a hot piece of pottery, that's permissible. And it was, the pottery was heated up and I put it on the pottery, that's permissible. And Rashi says the top line, Mutar, the kibui leka. There's no kibui because there's no coal, so there's no kibui with it. He says, "Vahavara nami adi shinui hi kla afaryad." And even the havara is an irregular havara. In other words, the incense is getting burnt because the piece of the earthenware is hot, but it's an irregular type of havara. Lucky you saw the deraita. So see back in the Gemara on the top line, "Rabba amar gabi cheres nami asur mishum de kamoli reicha." Rabba says that putting the hot incense on the earthenware keli is also prohibited. Because ka molid recha, you're like injecting a rea in the kli cheres. And molid recha is means that it's a din d'rabbanan. Some things I'm not 100% sure. I thought it was connected to the idea, like by Shabbos, you have an idea of molid. Like let's say I want to freeze water on Shabbos into ice. So there's no malacha d'raisa in freezing water, but it's molid. I'm creating like a new, you know, it's new in a certain way. So that's a din d'rabbanan. I think Rav Schechter, I was told, he says it's the 40th malacha, molid, but it's a din d'rabbanan. So here also, like your molid recha, you're changing the status. And before the thing had no fragrance, now the earthenware thing has got fragrance in it. So that's molid recha. That's why it's prohibited according to Rabba. Now, I'll just do a few more lines and I'll pause and then we'll discuss. Okay, we're on the second line on Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. So he says 23a, that's the second line. Okay. Rabbi Rav Yosef Damri Tarvayu, Rabbi Rav Yosef, those are two Bar Pluktas Drachas, but they both say, Sechupe Kasa Shirai Biyomatav Asur, to invert a cup, a fragrant cup, over silk on Yantiv is prohibited. my taima, and with an view towards, like, you know, imbuing the fragrance in the clothes or the silk. I want the silk to smell fragrant. So I'm going to take this cup that's got, like, smells fragrantly, and I'll flip it over onto the silk. But I'm not allowed to do that in Yantif. My taima mishum to come molid reach. Same idea. I'm molid reach. I'm imbuing, like, the fragrance to a new object that's prohibited on a rabbinic level. So the Gemara says, what's the difference between shifting over, like, the keli on silk and let's say having, like, a fragrant piece of wood and rolling it in my fingers to increase the fragrance, which I'm allowed to do, or the coat on the ripple, or breaking off, like, a piece of wood, and it was a fragrant piece of wood that I'm using for fragrances, and then I get more fragrance there. So the Gemara says, "Hatam reicha mia ita vosufi hu kamosif." There, I start over something that is fragrant, and now I'm increasing the fragrance with it. In other words, like, it's a fragrant piece of wood. I roll it, and now it smells more fragrant. Or I break off a piece, and now it's more fragrant. Here, he says, "Hatka uludi hu kamoli reicha." Here, somebody that never had reach now has reach. So that's the Easter. That's the Easter derabanan. All right, let me just do a few more lines, and I will pause. Okay, Rava Amar. So Rabba is going back to the halacha that we said before. Again, we said about with the ashen to smoke the fruit. Rab said asur and Shmuel said mutar. So Rabba says that al gami gachelet nami mutar. So earlier we quoted the Gemara on the bottom line on chapesim and beis, the top line on our amud. Rav Yudah said al gami gachelet is asur. To put it on a gachelet is also prohibited. He said that he agrees, but al gami karis mutar. But he says, Rav Amar Gabi Gachelet Nami Mutar. He says, no, there's nothing wrong with putting fragrance on a coal. He says, why? Meat to have a bistra gumre. In other words, why is that different than putting a piece of meat on a coal? If I put a piece of meat on a coal on Yadiv, which I'm allowed to do because of Ochel Nefesh, so the coal gets a little bit kibui, and then it gets fires up, and in economics, there's a nice fragrance from the meat. So why should doing the incense, in other words, but I want to use the incense for a food purpose. I want to wash on the fruit. Why should that be different than cooking a piece of meat? So he feels it's permissible. All right, let me just pause for a second and we'll take it down. And let's just repeat, you know, go over what we just did, and then we'll take some questions, comments to us. Okay. So the issue we got into is burning incense on Yantiv. And again, the basic yisod is, you know, ochel nefesh, melechet ochel nefesh, I'm definitely allowed to do. And Chazal also teaches mitosh hutra b'tzorach ochel nefesh, hutra nami shlo b'tzorach ochel nefesh. If I'm allowed to do it for ochel nefesh, I can do it for another purpose, a yantif purpose, even though it's not ochel nefesh. So am I allowed to, you know, burn incense to make the fruits more fragrant? That's to be something that they did. So the Gemara ends up saying it's talubim whether I say it's dabar ashav ochel nefesh. That was the yisod. In other words, it is having fragrant fruit, davar hashav l'chol nefesh. If it's davar hashav l'chol nefesh, then I have a green light to do it. If it's not davar hashav l'chol nefesh, I don't have a green light to do it. But then, even assuming that I'm normally not allowed to do it because of all the malacha that are involved, it was malacha, it was machaba, it was mavir, and those things I can't do. But even assuming that to be the case, then the Gemara asks, what about putting it on a cheres? What if I put the fragrance on a hot cheres, a hot earthenware vessel? So there, once I wanted to say that's mutar because there's no kibui, because there's no fire there. And then in terms, there is a little bit of a mavir, but it's a klach par yad mavir. So you want to say that that's mutar. And Rabbi said, is asur, because kal molid recha, that you're injecting the reach in the cheres. And then we got into discussion about molid recha. So molid recha is like a new sug, but on a rabbanon level, a prohibited activity on Shabbos, on Yantiv, on Shabbos certainly a prohibited, but on Yantiv it's definitely prohibited. All right, that's the basic idea. Questions comes to us. Okay, Fern's got, and then over here. Okay, what's the Fern? What do you got?
Thank you. Two things. Back to the ice. Can you make ice on Yantiv?
I don't believe
it's Tzorach Ochel Nefesh?
I have to look into it. I got to look into it. I need to look. I'm not sure. Okay.
But right. If you have leftover food from Yontif that you want to freeze on Yontif for another time, you cannot, right?
No, I think to stick something in the freezer, you could. I don't think it's a problem sticking something in the freezer.
Because you're changing its state.
Well, if is it liquid or is it solid?
Let's say I have extra challah and I wanted to freeze it for Shabbos. I waited till after Yontif.
Yeah, I'm not sure you have to do that. I think that you could put it away in the freezer, but something liquid I have to look into. But I think if it's solid, I don't think it's a problem like putting it in the freezer. Okay, what's up?
Another question. What about Bosem for women, and that you can do on Yontif or Shabbos,
again,
right?
I couldn't hear you. Could repeat it? Repeat again. What?
Perfume for women or men who use aftershave or some sort of shmelacht. You can use that on Shabbos and Yontif, no? Even though you're molid the reach on the person.
I have to look. Let me look. I don't want to
don't
say
make me sorry I asked.
Okay. Yeah, what's up?
My question was on clothes.
Yeah. Yeah, let me look into it. I don't use generally speaking perfumes or colognes. So I'm not familiar with it. But let me look into it and glean it. I'll get back to everybody with that. Okay. All right.
We gave you so much homework.
You did. Yeah, that's 100% correct. All right. Let's see further in the Gemara. Okay. Now. All right. So So I'm up to Darash Rav Gevira around the 10th line in Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. Okay. So Darash Rav Gevira Beit Katel for the Beit Reish Galuta. So Rav Gevira from Beit Katel is a place. He was Darash Apitcha the Beit Reish Galuta, the entranceway of the house of Reish Galuta. Kitur Shari. Now it's not clear. That's what he said. Kitur Shari. Rashi says 10 lines down. Kain Darash Lahem Lo Pirish Devarav. He said, in other words, he just said Kitur Shari. He didn't explain what Kitur is. Now Kitura can mean two things. Kitura can mean to make a knot, like Lekater, and Kitura can also mean smoke. Like we nay Allah kibshan aris kitor ha-kibshan. We nay Allah kitor ha-aris kitor ha-kibshan. Like it says by Avraham Avinu, by stone. So Amar le Amemar, my kitura. So Amemar said to Rav Gevira, what is kitura? It's nice that you hear that kitura is permissible. What is that? So ikitura biyadei masi umahu. Now, if it's kitur biyadei, which apparently the way Rashi says it means like pressing sleeves or the leggings of a woman's clothing is what Rashi says. If you look at Rashi, Ikitur biyadei sh'osin labate shokayin labate yadayim shel chiluke anashim shemekamten otan al eitz chalak. They would like press it against a smooth piece of wood. Oh, al aguda shel kashim, but it says like a group of, it's, I don't know if he means like straw or whatever, or reeds. So it could be that it might the way the article said it might mean tying like the clothes to the piece of wood so it lies flat and but it would involve making a knot. In other words, so I'm allowed to do that, but he said kitur is shar. He says if you mean that, so it doesn't seem like it should be permissible because it's masay uman, it's a craftsman's action. The other way to say kitura, which I saw in the Masifta today, they were saying that like it looks like as a result of the pressing, it's like, I don't know, some of the pleats look like they're like tied to the garment in some way, but it means like it's like the equivalent of ironing the garment. In other words, and so the pleats look like they're tied to the garment. But the way that the article said it was like it's not clear how tying enters into this thing, but it's doing something with the clothes. And at the end of the day, you have a masi uma and a malacha that's filed. Be'ila ashein, if kitur means like the smoke is something, asur da kamachabe. So then you're doing kibui if you're doing it that way. So the Gemara says, Amalei Rabashi, the olam la ashein. Oh, he says it means like smoke. I guess it means smoke of fruit. Midah haba bistra gumre. In other words, so he was saying kitur ishari. He was saying you're allowed to smoke the fruit because it's no different smoking the fruit than putting a piece of meat on coals on the Yontif. That's what he was saying. So ikida amri. That's what Rashi says. Ikidamri and others say that the conversation went down as follows. Amalei Amemar, my Kitura. Amemar said to Rav Gevira, what is Kitura? Ikitura biyade, if it means biyade, like pressing the sleeves, masi umanhu, that's like a skilled labor. Ila ashein, if it's to smoke the fruit, asur the kamoli brecha. Now let's do that because you're creating a reach, a fragrance. So Amar Ravashi, Anam Ritin Nehele, Mishmedi Gav Rabba Am Ritin Nehele. Ravashi said, I said this over, I said the name of a great man, Li Olam La'ashin, it means to smoke, Umidi Dahaba Bisra Gumri. Just like you're allowed to put meat on hot coals, so too I could put the fragrance on a hot coal. And even though, let me just make this right, get this right. One second. Let me just check. One second. Right. Yeah. No, not this. One second. Right. So you're smoking, you're going to smoke the food. You're going to smoke the food to make it smell fragrant. So it's just like, so you could do it. Now he says, Kamolid Recha creates a fragrance in the coals, what he says. Kamolid Recha creates a fragrance in the coals. That's the Molid Reach. But in the end, he says, it's no different than cooking meat, because meat also creates a fragrance in the coals. So the point is, if somebody's allowed for Tzorach Ochel Nefesh, so it's allowed also Shlomo Tzorach Ochel Nefesh, and he wants to say that this is like something like the equivalent. If even in other words, I'm creating the fragrance, smoking the fruit, or smoking the food, so it's no different than cooking a piece of meat on coals. In other words, but what's different? But I'm saying, if it helps me with the preparation of food, I have a green light to do it. But I'm allowed to do malacha to prepare the food, and so this. In Lechora, it sounds like you would be allowed to do it. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did? All right. So I'm gonna go further. All right. I would think. In other words, why are you pouring the gravy on the meat? In other words, do malacha for Tzorach Ochel Nefesh. Let's go back. In other words, you're right. It gets on the top. We discussed this over Yontif. You were there about kibui. Remember, the Machaber says I'm not allowed to do kibui. Svardim not allowed, and then the Rama says there's no other choice, you do kibui. So here, though, you see there is a certain kibui, he says, that you're allowed to do. Here comes out that you are allowed to do kibui.
Said earlier that some food that is already rich, not allowed to do. The common people are not.
Well, that's the question. So the question is if it's davar shabbat kol nefesh. That's the issue that we're raising. So it means that I don't know. It's more. It sounds like more than a rope. It sounds like, generally speaking, people, you know, prepare food or would use the food in this way or would do it this way. That's davar, or whatever usage it is. That's davar shabbat kol nefesh. As opposed to, let's say, only 5% of people would do it. So then, all right, let's take a look. All right, let's see further than Gemara. Now, for Osin Gedima Kula, so we said in the Mishnah that according to the Tana, Rabban Gamaliel had three chumras, and then he also had three kulas. So the three kulas were, he permitted sweeping the dining room, the Beit HaMitot, and then putting the incense on Yantiv, and making Gedima Kulas, Belay the Pesachim. Gedima Kulas is roasting the sheep or the kid, even though it's not the Korban Pesach, but it means not kachim, but roasting it in the same fashion that the Korban Pesach would be roasted, which is you have the animal, and next to it is the legs and the entrails. So that would be the roasting. So am I allowed to roast meat like the Korban Pesach was done in time of the Beis HaMikdash? So he says, roasting Kedima Kulas, the Tani Rabbi Yossi Omer, Todos Yishromi Heniga Bnei Romi Lechol Kedima Kulas B'lei the Pesachim. So in the Brisa, Rabbi Yossi said that Todos Yishromi, who was a big chacham in Rome, he taught the people there to make a Gedima Kulas on Lele Pesach. He says, Shalchulei, so he sent from Eretz Yisrael to Todos, and Lele Todos Atav, he weren't such a chashav person, who was going to Lechanidu, we would place you in excommunication. Because you're giving kachim outside the Beis HaMikdash to the Jewish people. So the words is kachim talking like that. Why to be kachim? Kachim, you have to matish the animal, not matish the animal. And Rashi earlier on the Mishnah says, this is the first wide line of the previous Amud. In other words, that the Chum didn't agree with him because they're afraid that people would think that you're allowed to be matish an animal and eat the kachim after the Beis HaMikdash. But Rabbi Gamaliel permitted this. So the thing that adds on here a little bit, we have this Gemara in Masechet Pesachim But here it comes out not just that Todos Yisroeli was doing it, but the Tana Rabbi Gamaliel, he's an Asi, he was making it that way. And so I could see where Todos Yisroeli he got the idea from, but it sort of like gives it a different character that.
While the Beit HaMikdash was standing?
No. So I assume that it's after the Korban Beis HaMikdash. That's what I assume is after the Korban Beis HaMikdash. What? What?
We don't.
No, in other words, we don't eat sli on El Pesach. Who? He did it. What do you mean? Again, the Gemara says, this is the night of the Seder. The night of the Seder. So the Gemara says that if it's Imakum Shnadula called sli, you need to have sli. Imakum Shnadula called sli, you don't have sli. So we take it that the minhag is not to have tzli on El Pesach, but Todos Yisroeli, he did more than having tzli. He had it roasted the way the Korban Pesach was roasted. So they sent him like, "What are you doing here? We would put you in nidui." But it comes out that he was doing the same thing that Rabbi Gamaliel was doing, or the Rabbi Gamaliel was making with. So I don't know what to say about that. Okay, but I believe that it's after the Korban base to make that. Okay, all right. So let's go to the next Mishnah. Okay, Manitin. So Shazrim Rablazman Azari Matir. Again, I want to look back at that thing about the gravy. So I have to get about the perfume and I got to get about the gravy. Okay, so let me look.
And what you can freeze on Yantav.
Okay,
and if freeze, you can make ice freeze, on Yantav.
I think freeze, all right, well, okay, freezing and then
okay, leave it.
Perfume and then what's the other thing I have to look at is the gravy, the machab of the coals. Okay. Manitin, so with the gravy, I don't feel so comfortable with the gravy because in general we said that we're not makaba. Here he says, well, by the incense, it does involve some kibui, but it came out once.
The gravy?
He said, in other words, the Gemara said you can cook a piece of meat on coals, and even though it's going to be makaba the coal a little bit, it'll be mavirit, but you're allowed to do that because you're allowed to cook. So then Rafi was saying, am I allowed to put the piece of meat and some gravy on the coal? The gravy on the coal, it would be like...
You mean like on a barbecue?
Yeah. All right, let me look into it. Let me look into this, okay? All right, let's see further the Gemara. Now, okay, Matnitin. So Shazbrim Rablazim Azari Matir v'chachim Elosir. There are three things that Rablazim ben Azari was Matir. He permitted Elchamim Aser. Paratogio Tzabar Tzush Ben Karnel. His cow would go out on Shabbat, and we have this in the Masechet Shabbat, you may recall, for Ritzuah Shebein Karneha. It means like a strap between its horns, a decorative strap between its horns. And the idea is that a person is Mitzuba on Shvita Behemto and Shvita Abdo. In other words, if I have an Eved Kenan and his members of his household, the Torah commands me to make sure that nobody's doing Malach in my household. And my Eved, even if I have an Eved Kanani, I have to make sure he doesn't do Malacha. And then I'm also, my Behemoth shouldn't be doing Malacha on Shabbos. So his para, he felt that it's a tachshit. It's a tachshit for the para. He permitted the para to go, or we'll see in the Gemara. But from the Mishnah, it sounds like his para went out on Shabbat. And then Umakar didn't Behemoth Yom Tov. Then he also, another kula, now we're switching back to Yantiv, he felt like they said to curry the animal, to have like a thin tooth comb, a metal comb to go through, to comb the animal and straighten out the hair, but it might cause a wound in the animal. But he said you're allowed to do that on Yantiv. Vishokhakin, although the Rambam I saw, he learns Makardin doesn't mean to take the comb. He learns it means like to remove like these worms from deworm the animal, but the worm is like sort of connected to the animal, so it might like cause a wound a little bit. He says v'shochekin apilpul and bereichaim shalhen. In addition to which, he permitted you to grind like peppercorns on yuntiv in the mill that you use for that. In other words, he felt either the issue is that he felt tochein you're allowed to do on yuntiv, either that's the pshat, or he felt like this is like a large mill, and even though it involves a lot of tirfa, you're allowed to do it on yantiv. But the chamim were mechulik on all three of those dinim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ain mekarin abehim of yom tov neisha osa chabura. Rabbi Yehuda says you can't be mekare, like take that thin comb, the thin metal comb, because you may make a chabura. Abba mekartzefin. Mekartzefin And again, Rashi is the one who adds in. Rashi says that mekartzvein involves a wooden comb with thicker teeth. That I could do. It won't make a wound. But chachamim omrim a mekartzvein. The chachamim say I can't do either one. So the Gemara will explain this machloket, but we have a three machloket about combing the animals or currying it. We'll hear from our medical expert shortly on yantiv. So according to one side, I could do everything. I can do both mekared and mekartze. According to one shot, I can't do either one of them. And according to one shot, I can do one, but not the other one. Okay? All right. And then if you look at Rashi on that, let's look at some of Rashi's on this one. Rashi says, but Ritush ben Karnel, Lenoi, Bamarabana Masui, who been otashed love with the cow. So the ritzu is for decorative purposes, for beautification, but the chum help is not a tachshit, it's a masui, like a burden. And then a mekardin is trilier from a gareret shel barzel shen of dakot. Rashi is the one who adds that one comb is metal, one comb is wood, and it's got fine teeth. Avagab da abid chabur, even though you make a chabur with it. And then mekartzafin, I'm skipping one, he says, mekardin shel eitz, there's a wooden comb, shen agasot, it has big teeth. It doesn't make a kabura. All right. Let's see the Gemara, and then I'll pause in another six lines. So the Gemara says, "Lameimra drablaz v'nazari chad a para habulei." So it says that his para went out. He only got one cow. You mean that's all he's got? I'm a Rav. I'm in the Amar Rabbi Yehuda. I'm a Rav. Rav said, "Now let's see the Rabbi Yehuda said the Rav." Place or alpha egglay have a maaser reblazam azari meedre kol shata b'shata. Says that his maaser behema, which would be 10% of the newborn calves, amounted to 13,000 calves. So it means he had 130,000 calves born each year, but he's got lots of calves, not one calf. So the Gemara says tana to a braista lo shelo haita was not his cow. El shel shchento haita belonged to his female neighbor. He says, "Mitoshal michaba nikrit al shmo." But since the neighbor had her cow go out with that ritzua, and he presumably was aware of it, and he didn't protest, so the Mishnah sort of discredits him as if it was his cow. And the Gemara learns in Masechet Shabbat, it says if a person words would be heard on Anshei Beito, he's held accountable nitpas on Anshei Beito. It says that an Alan Sheiro, Nitpas Alan Sheiro, if his words would be heard in his town. And boy, Yosef, would you get any sleep? What's going on with you? Anyway, he says, Nitpas Alan Sheiro, and then Kola Olam Kulo, Nitpas Alan Kulo. So you're responsible for everything. All right, let's just do Tosfos, and then I'll pause for 1 minute, okay? So the second Tosfos, everybody have the second Tosfos. Okay, so Tosfos is bothered. He's going to say that Reb Lazar ben Azariah lived after the Korban Beis HaMikdash, and he's bothered you don't take Maaser Behema after the Korban Beis HaMikdash. So how could the Gemara say that his Maaser Behema was 13,000 calves, but he lives after the Korban Beis HaMikdash? Got it? Okay, let's see the Tosfos. Place on Alpha Egli have Maaser Reb Lazar ben Azariah Bechulei B'Tema, and Tema is Tosfos' strongest question. B'Har Reb Lazar ben Azariah Yachar Korban Vayetuba. He lived long after the Korban Beis HaMikdash. The Rabbi Gamliel Yanasi Kodem Reb Lazar ben Azariah, because we know, in other words, the order is Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, he lives during the time of the Korban Beis HaMikdash, and he's the Nasi, then Rabbi Gamliel Diyavne, and then the Gemara Brachot says that Rabbi Gamliel was deposed, and they appointed Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah. And Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah was only 18 when they made him a Nasi. He says, Rabbi Gamliel Hayalachar Korban Avayat, and Gamliel, after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai Yosetakanot Yalachar Korban Avayat. In other words, it's interesting the riot he gives, but we just had one of Rabbi Yochanan's Zakkai's takanot is that you take lulav for 7 days. In other words, on Din Torah, you only take it once outside the Beis HaMikdash or outside Yerushalayim or the different machlokes Rishonim. But he says that they say lulav nitakol shiva, take on the Mikdash. So we know that he's living after the Korban Beis HaMikdash. He says, Mishum. He says, Rabbi wasn't old enough to be a Nasi at the time of the Korban Beis HaMikdash. In other words, normally Nasi is a descendant of Hillel, and it was Beis David. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was not from that family. So, but he says, Rabbi Gamliel wasn't old enough to take over the Nasi. His father was killed, I think one of the third Harugei Malkut, but he was killed by the Romans. He says, Kida Amar, because the Gemara says that when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a takana. This is about Charkak Rabbi Gamliel, but Charkak Rabbi Lazar. And then after Rabbi Gamliel was deposed, I mean Rabbi Lazar, sorry, Rabbi Lazar, Yochanan ben Shmona Esrei Shana Shein Asi. So he's only 18. So in other words, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is an Asi at the time of the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash afterwards. Then Rabbi Gamliel. Then he's deposed in Rabbi Lazar Mazari. But Mazari is only 18 when he becomes the Nasi. He says, "Unusku tola chara korban, b'mriv b'chorot l'chor korban nebatel komaser behema." So I saw in the Masipta they said at most he could have only been 14 or 15 at the time of the korban based on Mikdash. So he says, and then the Gemara Masechet B'chorot says that after the korban based on Mikdash, Maser Behema was. They got rid of Master Behemoth. The Yesh Lomar, Lona Patel Alter, Kim Lapar Zman. So Tosfos' first answer is they said the people shouldn't take Master Behemoth anymore. It was their opinion Master Behemoth is going to lead to a kill call. And I was like, I Master Behemoth, so I can't touch the animal until it gets a month. And then I give it to a Kohen, and the Kohen at that point can eat it. But they were afraid that things weren't going to work out that way. So they were mevatel the din of giving Maser Behema. Now, the only thing is, when mevatel the din of giving Maser Behema, I'd look into this because the way I remember the Gemara, we said that you should always, that we said what they said is you should sell it or get a going to own part of the animal, is what we said. In other words, that you want, in other words, we don't want people to have Maser Behema, but there's a mitzvah of Maser Behema. So I think that you should always get like a non-Jew to at least be a partner with you or to own the behemoth. That's what you want to do. So he says here, Inami, what? It might be the Bechor. Yeah, it might be Bechor. You're right. It might be the Bechor. All right, I got to go over to Maaser Behemoth. But anyway, the point is that there's no Maaser Behemoth anymore. But I don't understand exactly why, because the Mishnah Torah is to give Maaser Behemoth. So I have to see. So he says, Inami, or perhaps he had an apotropos. He had like an administrator of his estate who was taking Maser Behema. So in other words, he had a lot of behemas when the administrator was doing it. That was before the Korban Abayit. Inami loved Afka Maser. Or else maybe it doesn't literally mean he was Maser. Or maybe it means he was like an amount that he gave the king 10%, like 10% tax or whatever. So, right. So it doesn't, but anyway, the point is he had a lot of animals. All right. So, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? All right. We go on. So, let's see. We're 10 lines from the bottom on Chafkim Murala. Okay. Umakar didn't obey him beyond. So, another kula that Rabbi Lazar Nazaria had was Makar, that you're allowed to, again. So, you want to say anything about carrying an animal? All right, let me go on. Anyway, so you came up over Yontif, by the way, Shai. I was saying we had another Gemara double an animal, and I was saying that how I thought that you should get together all the Gemaras that have to do with the animals and go forward with. All right. Yeah. Yeah. What did we say about the klavim? The what? Oh, right. Whether you're allowed to cook, right. Whether you're allowed to cook for the animal on Yom Tov, right. So I said you should collect all the sugyas that deal with animals or dogs if you want to focus on dogs. And then you have your safer, you know, you have the veterinarian's, commentary on Shas. Yeah. All right. I don't think we have another safer like that. So you'd be unique. Okay. Let's see back on the Gemara. So the Gemara says, you're allowed to, like, according to Rabbi Lazar Nazari, I can take this fine metal comb and comb the animal on Yom Tov, even though I might make a chabur with him. So Tanur Rabbanan, we learn the Brayse, Ezu Kirud Bezu Kirtzu. Kirud Ketanim Bosa Chabura, Bosin Chabura. So Kirud is thin teeth, and it could make a chabur. It could make a wound in the animal, which obviously would be a malacha Brayse. And Kirtzu Gidolim Enosin Chabura. Kirtzu is wider teeth, which Rashi said are wooden teeth, and they don't make kabura. And then the Brisa continues. There are three opinions. We had three opinions in our Mishnah, but here the Brisa spells it out a little bit more. And he says there are three opinions. Rabbi Huda Savar, we had Rabbi Huda in our Mishnah. Davar Shenam Kavein Asur. Now, Davar Shenam Kavein means something may or may not occur, but I'm not allowed to do a davar shen mekaven. That's the way he takes it. Davar shen mekaven asur. So he says, mihu kirud ketanim v'osin chaburim. So the kirud, those are the small teeth, and since it could make a chabura, and the davar shen mekaven is asur, he holds kirud is not allowed. It may or may not occur, but he holds davar shen mekaven is asur, so he can't do the kirud, which is the combing with the fine tooth comb. He says, Kirtzov Gidolim, but Kirtzov is the larger teeth and wooden teeth, according to Rashi, Beno Sin Chabura. They don't make Chabura, but Logos Rin, Kirtzov Adu Kirin. But I mean, goes there one for the other one. So he holds, according to Tana Rabbi Yehuda, I'm not allowed to do Kirud, but I can do Kirtzov. For Rabbanan Sabri Nami Rabbi Yehuda, the Chamim hold also like Rabbi Yehuda, Dabar Shin Makavin is Asur. They hold, I can't use the big tooth comb because I may come to use the thin tooth comb. So everything's prohibited. Reb Lazar ben Azariah, the bottom line downstairs, the large line, Reb Lazar ben Azariah sabar like Reb Shimon. Reb Lazar ben Azariah holds like the town of Reb Shimon, Damar, Damar Shin Mekavin Mutar. He holds Damar Shin Mekavin is Mutar, which is usually what we say, La La Chan, where it's like I open my refrigerator, the motor may go on or may not go on. So, but davar shen mekaven is mutar. Although some people will wait till the motor is going before they open the refrigerator. He says, uvein kirud uvein kirtzov shari. So he holds that kirud and kirtzov are both permissible. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Amar Rav Nachman, Lechuda, halachah Reb Shimon. So Rav Nachman says, halachah follows Reb Shimon, the davar shen mekaven is mutar. Shari Reb Lazar ben Azariah Modala, because Reb Lazar ben Azariah agrees with him. It was received Reb Lazar ben Azariah, and our Mishnah says you could do both, the Kirud and the Kirtzov, which is like points with Reb Shimon. So Amalei Rabba Reb Nachman, the Rabbi said Reb Nachman, the Lamar Lach Reb Yehuda, Shechani Modala. Why did he say Lach is like Reb Yehuda? Let me agree with him. So Amalei, so he said back to him, Reb Nachman did, Anat Reb Shimon Sphirli, meaning I personally hold like Reb Shimon because I think as far as more sound, I hold like Reb Shimon. But in addition, Reb Lazar ben Azariah agrees with him. But I really hold like Reb Shimon. Not based on who's agreeing, who's not agreeing, but I hold like Reb Shimon. Okay. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? No. It's not to remove the wound, it's going to create the wound. I assume it's like to clean the hair or whatever. I told you, the Rambam learns the sugi differently. The Rambam learns that kirud is like removing like these worms from the surface of the animal, and the kirtzov is removing like smaller bugs from it. And then when I remove the worms, it may like cause it to bleed. But the way it is here, that's why I was asking Shai about it. But it sounds like you're combing the animal in some way that like to make the animal look nice or something like that. But along the way, you might cause it to have a wound. Okay, let's keep moving. We're running out of time. Go ahead. What? No. Those are two different pshatim. Okay. So according to the Rambam, we want to say what? No, you're removing the worm, not killing the worm. Removing the worm. What? Or I don't know. Anyway, let's get further than tomorrow. All right, now Chavkin Lamed Beis. Okay, everybody with me. Okay, Manitin. Okay, now the Gemara mentioned about the permissibility of grinding pepper on Yantiv. The Gemara Agaburach brings up Dine Tuma about the mill that you're going to grind the pepper in. Manitin Arichaim Shel Pipel in Tumea. So, like the mill, it's like a small mill for the pepper is Tumea Mishum Shlosha Kalin. Now it means it's got three component parts. Each part is susceptible to tumah in its own right. Now, wood is not susceptible to tumah unless it has a beit kibul. That's one halacha. Metal is susceptible to tumah. And another thing is that if something is woven, even if it's wood, and this seems like a din de rabbanan, it's mekabel tumah. So all three of those elements are going to be in this mill. He says, tumah mishum shlosha kelim, shum kli kibul, and it has, there was the bottom receptacle, which is going to receive the ground up pepper is wooden vessel, but it has a beit kibul. In other words, it's like a bowl at the bottom. He says, umishum klima techet. Also, for klima techet, the klima techet is the top vessel has like a lining of metal. So even though it's wood, but it has a lining of metal. Mishum kli kavara. The thing that's sifting is like a netting, but the netting is in some way wood or plant or whatever, but it's mekabel tumah because it's a davar arud. And Tosfos says if one component is tameh, the other one's not tameh, but anyway, we get the idea. So the Gemara says, Tana, tachtonim shum kli kibul. So the Tana told the Brice, the bottom one is kli kibul, it's the receptacle. And sight mishum kli kavar. The middle one is kli kavar, is like the sieve. In other words, the one woven. Elyonim mishum kli matechet. The upper one is a kli matechet. In other words, not totally matechet, but it has like a matechet lining. So it's makabal tumah for that reason as well. Now, I saw in the Mishnah they mentioned that the Rosh usually doesn't quote these halachot because it deals with tumah and tahara and has not halachot ma'isa. But this halacha he does quote. So he said that he mishnah quotes it. The Korban Netanel says he quotes it because let's say one of these elements is broken, I can still carry it. In other words, each one is a keli in its own right. So if one of them is broken, I can still carry it because the other one's a keli. In other words, a broken keli I can't carry on Shabbos v'yom, it's moksa. But in other words, each one of them are kalim. So in other words, if one of the kalim is broken, I can still carry it because it still has a din shem kalim. All right, let's see back. That's what it sounds like, yeah. All right, let's see back on the Gemara. So manitin, again, this is a tumantara issue. Agala shel katan tamei midras v'nitel b'shabbat. So tumas midras we've had before is when certain people like the zav, the zava, the nida, and I think the mitzora as well. And there were some people sit on objects and they're an abatuma, and the object also becomes an abatuma. That's tumas mishkav, moshav, and midras. They're all connected with each other. But the object that I sit on has to be something designated as a seat. So here the Tana says, agalash al katana, like a child's wagon, tamei midras, is susceptible to tumas midras. Meaning, if the child is tuma is a zav, if the child is a zav, he's being abatuma. And so if he sits on the wagon is an abatuma. He says, v'nitel et b'shabbat, in addition to which, since it's a keli, it can be carried or moved around on Shabbos, not muksa. And it was only, you can't move everything on Shabbos. A keli I'm allowed to move. So it has dinner keli, I can move it on Shabbos. The ain and the grera el gabi kelim, but it can only be dragged along kelim. So your kelim means like begadim, because we're afraid it's going to make a charetz, so like a furrow, and that would be melech choresh. So it's only can be dragged on clothes. Rabbi Yudomer, kol kelim ain negrarin chutz min hagala. So he's using kelim differently. Rabbi Yudomer says all kelim, all utensils can't be dragged except for the agala, which could neshi koveshet. He wants to say even without the clothing, you know, between it and the dirt floor, it doesn't do choresh. It just presses down the dirt. In other words, it doesn't move the dirt around. It just presses the dirt down in its place. So he feels it's not melech choresh. Okay, let me get to the end of the sugya, and then we'll take some questions, and I got to run with any other time. So the Gemara says, "Agalash katan tamei midras tahasam mechilavei." So the Gemara says that the agal of a katan is substitutes midras because the katan leans on it, sits on it, leans on it. It's all the same thing. B'nitelet b'shabbat mishum deikator kli alo. It could be again the Brice is like or the Gemara is like elaborating on the Mishnah. It could be moved on Shabbos because it didn't kli. The ain and the grail of kalim, it can only be dragged on top of kalim. Here, kalim means like begadim. Al gabi kalim means al gabi karka lo. So I can't drag it on karka. My time, why? Because it would make a furrow, and if it makes a furrow, that would be melech choresh. So the Gemara says, "Mani, according to whom does our Mishnah go?" Rabbi Yehuda he the Amar davar sheinu kaven asur. So the Gemara says, "Our Mishnah must be going to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda." Now, it doesn't necessarily happen that it will make a charetz, but it could make a charetz. So our Mishnah must be like the Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds davar shenu kavin is asur. The Reb Shimon, because if the Mishnah goes like Reb Shimon, hamar davar shenu kavin mutar. He holds davar shenu kavin is mutar. We had this before. We've had it before in the past. And on the side to Tanya, we learned the Braisa. Reb Shimon Omer, goera damita kisev isosal. Reb Shimon says that on Shabbat, a person can pull along his bed, means on a dirt floor, kisei, a chair, or a bench for safsal. Provided he doesn't intend to make a karetz, and it's davar shenu kavin, he's in the clear. So since the Mishnah says that this can only be dragged on top of kelim, which means begadim, must be like Rabbi Yehuda, whose davar shenu kavin is prohibited. So the Gemara says, but wait a second, ema seifa, let's go to the seifa of our Mishnah. The seifa of the Mishnah mentions Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda omer eina kol negrarin b'shabbat, and he says that you can't drag, actually the Mishnah said I can't drag kelim on Shabbos, chutz min ha'agalah, nishi koveshet, that the agalah you could drag because it just presses the dirt down. So here, you're saying the beginning of the Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, according to the way we understand it, that I can't drag the wagon on dirt because it will be choresh, make a choretz, or may make a choretz. But then the next line in the Mishnah says that that Rabbi Yehuda says that I could draw, you know, pull the wagon along because it's only kovesh, it only presses the dirt down. Nature kovesh in about choretz lo abda. So it doesn't make a choretz. So the word says trade tonight, I believe the Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah represents two Tanayim with two different versions of the Tanah Rabbi Yehuda. And let's look at Rashi, last Rashi in our Gemara. Trade tonight, I believe the Rabbi Yehuda. Chad Savar Hagel and Amikishra Kalim, the Osacharitz, Begre Rato. So one, the first opinion holds that the Agala is just like any other Kali that will sometimes make a Charitz, a Faro, when you drag it along. Shepamim Sheina Ofan Mikalgael. Because sometimes the wheel won't turn, the wheel will be locked into place, and then under those circumstances it'll make a charetz. That's the first opinion. So therefore I have to drag it only on begadim. The idach savar, the second opinion holds, lo shchiachati, that could happen, but that's very remote, and I don't have to worry about it. The inel kovesh taka gilula. Generally, it only is kovesh, and that's the only thing to worry about, pressing it down. What? It's a toy. He wants to play around with the toy. Okay. Say again, what? Not necessarily, because it's been no, because you could use it. It could be Tommy. It could have use. I could be Tommy myself, but it could have usage. I could use the Kaili for different things. All right. Let's see back in the Gemara. Okay, let's do the next mission, and then we'll do the Rashi, and it's an important Rashi, important Sukkah, and we'll do some Rishonim based on the Yalla Daf, if we have time, and then that'll be it for tonight. Hopefully we'll have a minion. We're halfway there. Okay, now, Hatra Lech Yom Tov. Now, did you doubt Margaret, Michael? No, okay, good. Now, Ein Sadim Dagim Min Abibarim B'Yom Tov. You're not allowed to, like, capture Dagim Min Abibarim here means, like, from a pond. Like, Abibarim means an enclosure. If the fish are in the pond, I'm not allowed to capture the fish on Yantiv. I can't do Melechet Seda on Yantiv. They know if the name is Zonot. And I can't feed the fish. Let's look at Rashi. These are important Rashis. In Sagim Dagim, and we did this Rashi already, but we'll do it again. He says, even though Shechit is slaughtering and baking and cooking are Avot Melachot, and that's permissible, Sorok Yantiv. So Ochel Nefesh is permissible. So why can't I do Tzeda? It's also Sorok Ochel Nefesh. He says, Tamu Shem the Yifshar Me'er of Yom Tov. The reason I'm allowed to do those things because I can't do it the same, you know, effect on Erev Yantiv. The Shechit Chayish L'Nichbar Bisra Penichal Mevi Asriya. If I would have checked it the day before, I'm concerned the meat will, like, heat up and putrefy and become rotten. About Tzeda, but Seida I could do before Yantiv. There's no reason I couldn't do Seida before Yantiv. I could leave it and it's captured with Suda, in other words, like where I have it like really cornered in the water. It won't die. And the next day he'll take it. And then Rashi says, alright, this we can leave. Then in the next Rashi after that, we don't feed the fish. He says, even according to the opinion, still with the Shaya, who says that you're allowed to do malachot, you know, for nefesh behema, that means according to one man, I can even cook for the dog. But he says, that means mazona tanalecha, I'm required to feed it. He says, about dagim, fish can eat along without me feeding them. The karka, they eat like the roots, and I said, the dirt. Big fish eats small fish. Okay, let's see. Now the idea is that according to Rashi, it's mashma that these malachot, in other words, so the only, according to Rishami, the only malachot I'm allowed to do are from Lash going forward. So the other ones I can't do. So from Rashi, it's mashma that the other malachot, even though they're sorach ochel nefesh, there would be a chiv deraisa if I would do them. In other words, if I do tzeda, it would be a chiv deraisa, even though it's sorach ochel nefesh. Because I could just as easily do it before Yantiv. So other Rishonim want to say, no, it's only a Chiv to Rabbanan. And then someone has said, the reason you're not allowed to do these other Malachot is that a person, different reason, that a person generally does it in large volume. let's say tzira, like I harvest, I don't harvest a little bit per meal, I harvest my whole field at once. And that's why those things are prohibited. And then someone to say, the Meiri wants to say, and this is Rav Kati brought down, that that the malacha we are permitted, that I do that right before I'm ready to eat it generally. But these other malacha I do, you know, like substantial time beforehand. All right, let's see back in the Gemara. Right, right. So you shouldn't. Well, that's right. Well, it's not here in many other places, but it's better not to throw the bread. Although the counter far to justify it, though I think it's better not to throw the bread. The argument would be that you don't throw the bread directly to the fish. You throw it like a distance from the fish, and then they just come and get the bread. But I would really recommend not taking any bread and not doing that. In other words, why would I want to, on Rosh Hashanah of all days, on any day, why would I want to do potentially Easter Durabanan, you know, for this? Okay, let's see, go back on the Gemara. Now, about citing the chay of Ofman of Bibarim, but I'm allowed to capture a chay and Ofman of Bibarim from the enclosure. It means if the chay or the Of is in a narrow enclosure, it's not Mechusar Seda. That's what it's saying. In other words, the fish, he swims here, he swims there. He's in a pool. So he's still subject to Seda. But if I have an animal that's in an enclosure and he's at my in a small pen, so then I could take it because he's already captured. He says about sudden kind of open a bibarium, but no name is Zonot, and I can give food to them because I'm obligated to feed my animals. Rav Shmuel near local bibarim shavin. Shmuel says not all enclosures are the same. Now Rav Shmuel might be explaining the Tana Kama. In other words, that when you say that the animal's an enclosure, there's a difference between an enclosure, let's say the size of this room, and enclosure like the size of, you know, like a two feet by two feet. So Ramulio is saying that an animal could be an enclosure and still be Mechusar Tzeda because it's a big room. And tomorrow we'll discuss in tomorrow's daf, you know, how big it has to be. Zaklal, kol Mechusar Tzeda asur, anything which is Mechusar Tzeda, I'm not allowed to do, shein Mechusar Tzeda mutar. If it's not Mechusar Tzeda, then I can take the animal. Okay, let me just do a few minutes with this, and then we'll take some things. And then, bleeding that, I'll see you on Yontif. Everybody's welcome on Yontif. Yosef, if you want to come with
Shabbos,
us.
Shabbos.
So it should be somewhere around 5:30 p.m. on Shabbos. So I'm not too surprised, Yosef. So he says here, now Rashi asks why the Malach of Seda for the sake of Ochal Nefesh is not permitted on Yontif, just as slaughtering and baking are permitted. So Rishonim offers several answers to this question. So we went through Rashi already about the freshness and things like that. Okay. B, the Rambam explains that any animal or fish which was not captured prior to Yom Tov may not be eaten on Yom Tov because there's Mutzah, since it was not designated for eating before Yom Tov. See you next Mishnah. He says, the Merkevus HaMishnah notes that the Rambam indicates that if not for the Rabbinic Easter Mutzah, Malach of Tzedah would be permitted on Yom Tov. So that's the way he has it here. The Ran also asserts that Minatora, any malacha which is for the sake of Ochal Nefesh is permitted on Yantiv, even trapping and reaping, on a Dereisa level. However, the sages forbade these malachot on Yantiv because these labors are commonly performed in bulk quantity for long-term use, and sages were concerned that one might trap or reap for post-Yantiv use. Then, finally, alternatively, the Rush explains that the sages forbade malachot such as trapping and reaping because they resemble Ugd the Chol, weekday work, since they are often performed in large quantities. So, means most Rishonim seem to hold these other malachot are only prohibited on a Durabanan level. That's the way it's coming out. Rashi seems to say Duraisa, but most of them hold Durabanan. Okay, these are questions, comments, thoughts, anything I did so far?
No, but I want to tell you that is it 525?
So the fish should be in a very small, like in my bathtub. Right? But I put the fish, you know, in a small enclosure, then I'm okay. What do you want to say, Fern? I'm sorry.
Daf is at 5:25 on Shabbat.
Okay, 5:25. Okay, let me end the recording.